It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Breaking news! President Trump threatens to shut down the United States government over his border wall, unless he gets the border wall built. Anyway, welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal, and with our no longer mute producer, Damian Hardeen. Damian, welcome.
Hi, y'all.
Donald Trump followed up what has been described as the worst week of his presidency. Boy, how do you decide among so many qualified candidates? Followed up the worst week of his presidency with, I don't know, just another tragic normal week that we've become used to. There is a falling out with the Koch brothers and Donald Trump. Trouble in paradise.
I don't know whether it's a laugh or it's a cheer or it's a cry.
It's like poor Mike Pence, the vice president, caught in the middle with two warring parents. Which side do you choose? This is a vice president who was plucked from irrelevancy by President Trump and put back on the national stage with the possibility, with the inside path to the presidency that he has long sought. On the other hand, has been pointed out by an endless number of commentators, Mike Pence has for a long time been basically the bitch of the Koch brothers. A couple of commentators recently, I'm sorry, I don't remember who I heard making this comment, but it basically said that if Pence gets into the White House, it is in effect putting the Koch brothers into the White House running this country. Anyway, what's going on here? I think this is, as you said, there's a certain amount of schadenfreude here where this is just fun to watch what's going on here. The Republican National Committee chairwoman, I forget her name, Mac something. It wasn't McDonald, but I forget. Someone will look that up, hopefully, but it doesn't matter. The chairwoman of the Republican National Committee referred to the Koch brothers as ideologues, as a bad thing. And she really meant someone who actually believed in something. And then she said, as part of the quote, they're not just supporting Republicans, they're also supporting Democrats. Like, clearly indicating where we are as a country. When we talk about a divided country, it is clear, the Republican National Committee chairwoman, making it perfectly clear that you don't believe in anything, you just are a supporter of Republicans. That's the way we operate. But then the Koch brothers spokesperson came out, and I think these are fun because, of course, the last few weeks, and always to some extent, but the last few weeks primarily, we've been talking about misleading media, deceptiveness, deceit, etc. And this is just wonderful. So the chairman of the Republican National Committee comes out and attacks Trump, the Kochs, for possibly actually even believing in something. And the Koch brothers respond through their spokesperson by saying, we support policies that help all people improve their lives.
Oh, please.
Seriously? The Koch brothers? These are the guys who needed to spend about $900 million in the last election cycle, I guess, to convince people what was in their own best interest.
Now that is irony.
Anyway, it's really hard. Two warring parents from the War of the Roses or some other miserable marriage. It's really just hard to imagine who to root for in this one.
Oh, we do have the name Ronna McDaniel.
McDaniel. That's what it was. Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah. So not they don't just support Republicans. They also support Democrats. I think they threw a few pennies. What the Koch brothers did, what prompted that announcement was that the Koch brothers have stated that they will not support the North Dakota Republican Senate candidate against the very much endangered Heidi Heitkamp, the Democratic incumbent, and they're not going to be supporting the Republican because it turns out he's been a little bit, maybe too Trumpish on issues that the Koch brothers don't like. And what is the Koch brothers' ideology while we're talking about it? I think it's pretty clear to set out what the Koch brothers' ideology is, which is anything that benefits the Koch brothers financially, we're in favor of.
Here's the problem. It doesn't matter who's in charge, just so long as they get a break through their businesses through ending regulations and things like that. This is the problem when you have corporations getting their fingers all over our politics. It's almost like there should be, of course, not only the separation of church and state. I think that was a good idea that I guess Republicans turn their backs on these days, but also a separation of corporate America from politics, because it just stands to reason that if you have money and you have the means to turn things your way that will benefit you, regardless of whatever asinine message you're gonna put out there, then you're going to do it because it's profitable. And we're all about profit. So this is one of the biggest problems that we have. It's one of the reasons why Citizens United was such a terrible idea.
Right. Well, as of in a month or so from now, when Brett Kavanaugh's presumably been confirmed to the United States Supreme Court, we hold out hopes, but not a lot of hopes, because we see how things work in politics. And as I've argued on this show before, Republicans will, I believe, come in line when they are told that they need to come in line.
They'll Rand Paul it.
They'll manage to, yeah, they'll be, their kids' futures will be threatened or promises will be made. I said, keep taking a look at how Anthony Kennedy's kid does for a while now.
Yeah, but we need everybody to go ahead and call the representatives and let them know how they feel about this, because there are certain very common sense things that are on the ropes here with Kavanaugh's nomination.
Correct, including what you just said, which is if Kavanaugh gets on the United States Supreme Court for at least 10 years or so while Clarence Thomas is still on, there will be absolutely no hope of improving the system of money in politics and reducing corporate influence in politics. And if God forbid the Republicans get one other under Trump or in the next few years, or if we have a Republican president anytime soon, if they get one more, then we are literally talking for probably two generations that we will not be able to make improvements on this, that corporations will absolutely rule the roost. Because ultimately, as we talked about, I think last week or the week before, a little bit in the Supreme Court, what this ultimately boils down to in the Supreme Court, Mitch McConnell, the Republicans, the base is engaged over this, over banning abortions, over preventing women from having sex unless it's approved by them. But ultimately, what the Republican Party is all about is not any of those social conservative issues. They just want the money. And they just want basically to promote the corporate agenda, which the Supreme Court will reliably be doing for the rest of my lifetime.
And it seems like maybe one of the most important things is that this is a nominee, Kavanaugh, who has come out publicly and said that he doesn't believe that a president should even be investigated, much less indicted, basically. And that's an issue. Whether you love Trump now or later, is that something that we want to have going forward for any president? Is so that they're not held accountable when the rest of the planet, or I shouldn't say planet, but at least in this country, is held accountable. There's such a thing as the rule of law. And the rule of law states that no one is higher than the law. We're not a monarchy. We've obviously heading towards a kleptocracy if we're not there already. But the rule of law means that nobody is above the law. So you can't have it where your president is held to a different standard than everybody else.
Well, as we were just talking a little bit before the show, I think, and again, this has been in the last few shows that we've had, I think accountability and responsibility are such buzzwords, are such keywords in this case. Republicans love to talk about personal responsibility and how they're the responsible party. Sure, when it comes to children eating, they're all about personal responsibility, but basically the whole conservative agenda is for wealthy people and corporations to not be responsible.
But we need a show me the money sort of uprising here, where it's like, if you're going to talk the talk and you're gonna lay claim to that being one of the pillars of conservatism or being a Republican, then they need to show us that that's actually what they're supported by, not just talk about it. And that's the issue. I brought up Rand Paul before because Rand Paul is notorious for saying, no, I don't think I want to do this. I'm probably going to vote against the president. Yet he never does.
And then caving, when, right, as right. he did a couple of times very noticeably
right.
a little earlier in the Trump administration.
He wanted to be prudent, which is a good thing. But here's the thing. He wanted to be prudent with the selection of Kavanaugh. And he said, well, you know, there's certain things that are flying across his radar that he doesn't like. But then he came out and said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and vote to confirm him anyway. What's the point? Why are we always giving these folks a free pass? They figured out how to play us at this point. All you have to do, and this is the playbook, and you try doing this too, but I have to warn you, if you go ahead and you do this, people are going to start to look at you funny because for some reason, everybody is being held to a different accountability than the president is. But try this at home, or maybe not try this at home. I don't want to cost anybody their jobs. Just go ahead and say the things that sound politically correct, but that are politically correct, but do the exact opposite or do different things and see where that gets you. I don't understand why we tolerate that.
You know, we talk about the tribalism, and it's perfectly clear at this point. The Republican Party works in lockstep. Whether it's promises or threats, the Republican Party steps into line right now. They might occasionally speak whatever dissent they might have. You'll hear Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski talk about preserving abortion rights. But ultimately, the history says that when push comes to shove, they will fall in line. They will be told to fall in line. You know, it's ironic. This is turned around somehow to become a positive for Republicans, that they basically, it's like a parliamentary party where you have to do what the party tells you to do. And you hear all the time, you hear people say about the Democrats, why can't they all get on the same page? Why don't they have a single message that they're getting out? And of course, the answer is that really what you want? You have different people who believe in different things. But when it comes to the Republican Party, they know how to threaten. And I don't think there's any question, and I don't think there's any question on some level with Anthony Kennedy, that part of the deal, I understand the deal was he wanted his law clerk in, and they probably promised him that it would be Brett Kavanaugh. But I still say, watch how Anthony Kennedy's son does. And I think that you will see, for all these people, you will see a lot of campaign money will flow in once they vote the right way. Their family members will be gainfully employed. They will never have to worry about their finances in the future. And they know that if they don't toe the party line, that the Republicans will sacrifice them in order to send a message to the party, which is you do not ever buck the party. So they could say, I'm an independent Republican, but the bottom line, for the most part, is generally there is none. Now, sometimes some will say, look, I voted against my party on this issue. But it will always be an issue in which the party wins anyway. And what happens is the party will release some of its members. So Susan Collins, if the Republicans can convince a couple of the Democrats to vote for Brett Kavanaugh, and it comes out that he's written things that are very much anti-abortion and supposedly cross Susan Collins' red line, what you will see is Susan Collins being told, okay, look, we have the votes now in the Senate, so you can go ahead and either not show up or vote against him. We release you. That's the term. You're actually released to vote the way your constituents expect you to vote. But if they need her vote, she will vote the way that she's expected to vote, as will basically all Republicans, including, as you point out, Rand Paul.
It's just all optics. It's a theatrical display that at this point, you have to say, I've seen this show before. Can I have my money back? Because even when you think, and you just brought up them falling in lockstep with each other, this isn't the way that it's supposed to be. If everybody's agreeing on something, then you're not getting perspective. Can you imagine that if the framers of the Constitution at the Constitutional Convention just got in together and everybody just yesed each other to death, would we have a constitution that's really capable of running the country? No, you wouldn't. What you would have is you would have things that haven't been thought through. You would have basically no reason for other opinions. You just basically put the alpha person in charge and then just have a bunch of people saying yes. I mean, you can have one person with eight actual bobblehead dolls, and they can say whatever, and he can go ahead and bang all the little bobblehead dolls and accomplish basically the same thing as what Trump is accomplishing with his Republican base right now. It's a bobblehead thing.
Yeah, anyway, to say, to show how we, how far we've come full circle, and the whole, and why we've become such bobbleheads. You know, for much of this country's history, while the parties were somewhat distinct, there was obviously a lot of overlap, and there were a lot of issues. It didn't used to be that every bill had basically every Democrat voting against it and every Republican voting for it, or vice versa. It was way more mixed, as one would expect it would be. No matter what your political affiliation, there are some issues where you're going to be more on the other side than on your side. But that's not the case anymore. Now we've come full circle. The reason that hasn't been the case for a long time, I think the primary motivator for this is that money had to be laundered through our campaign funding system, the way it was set up for a long time. Money needed to be laundered through national political parties. And that made the national political parties spectacularly powerful with respect to the people within the parties. And so we had talked many weeks back on this show about the Republican senator from Washington. I forget her name. This was a while ago, that she supported campaign finance reform at a time when McCain-Feingold was being debated. And there was actually an issue of campaign finance reform being enacted. And the Republicans, of course, did not want campaign finance reform being enacted because they do better with money in politics generally. And this Republican senator said, my constituents overwhelmingly support campaign finance reform. And I have to back them up on this. I have to vote with my people. And she was told by the Republican Party, if you do that, we will not give you any money. We will not provide you with any of the slush funds that we have, basically any of the laundered money that goes to the National Political Party. And she said, if you do that, I'm going to lose. It's a close election, and you're going to get a Democrat in. And basically called their bluff. And they weren't bluffing. And they wanted to prove them. They said, we would rather lose and have a Democrat take that seat then have a Republican take the seat and send the message that you could sometimes buck your party and get away with it.
I think recently Democrats have learned from this as well, where they're letting some of the Democrats just go ahead and it, in my opinion, really represent the people of their state, which is to say that, yeah, they don't have to be in lockstep with everything that whatever the ideal Democratic pillars are. If there's some differences, fine. And when you think about it, that's kind of the way it's supposed to work. Your representative is supposed to represent you if you're a part of the state. So walking in lockstep with any particular party is something that we need to be vigilant of, because questioning actions is ultimately where accountability starts.
You get this all the time. We see a conservative response to something by saying, well, Obama did this. And the idea that we could respond by saying, yeah, Obama did several things that I don't like, that was one of them, is just sort of, again, it points out, we've talked about the cult, we've talked about the way things are different in the parties, and they are fundamentally different within the two political parties. We're having a conversation a long time before the show today. There are a lot of uninformed people on the left as well as the right. There are a lot of people who vote Democrat because they have Democrats tattooed on their butt, just like there are people who vote Republican because they have Republican tattooed on their butt. But one, it just so happens that the people who are ignorantly voting Democratic happen to be right now. That doesn't make them any better in that sense, but it does mean that they're right. And if you want to sit down and have a thoughtful conversation using facts and consideration, then you're probably going to have to be in a group of people that includes mostly liberals in order to have that, because that kind of a discussion isn't happening on the other side. And again, a lot of that is the impact of money. Money speaks and tells you what to think, and it tells you what to think over and over again. That's what $900 billion in Koch brothers raised money was about doing. It wasn't to get information out about that benefits corporations, because gosh darn it, people don't ever get to hear what corporations have to say. It was about propaganda, and it was about telling people the same thing over and over again until they believe it, no matter how ridiculously untrue it is.
This is where the average citizen is supposed to have at least a little bit more of a voice than a corporation, because again, the average citizen doesn't have the means to go ahead and put their message out there. I mean, if you just for a moment, just right now, if you were to think in a quiet space, if you were to think, what are some of the things, if I had a whole lot of money that would benefit me or my family, what are some of the things that I would like to have a message or messages being shoveled through the airways? What would it be? Would it be hey, maybe I'd like to be able to afford healthcare. Would it be, maybe I'd like to get a good job or a good education. Maybe I'd like to have safety or safer conditions at my workplace so I don't have to feel threatened by life or limb every time I go into the, every time I descend into a coal mine. You know, these are things that you'd want to ask yourself, but you don't have the resources to do it. Now, a lot of folks are going to say, well, you know what, if you guys want to, you can go ahead and band together and do that. But seriously, who's gonna call up people that they know outside of their immediate circles to do that? So we're not playing on an even field with this. However, if you do have a lot of money and a lot of influence and apparently a lot of free time on your hands, you can go ahead and try to influence politics to what benefits your company, because it's ultimately profitable. At some point, we have to stop saying, okay, well, profitability is not a bad thing. Inherently, profitability is not a bad thing. However, if you're doing it by screwing other people, that is a bad thing. And I don't want to have a false equivalence with this. That is a bad thing. If you're making your money by stepping over the backs of people, I think as written in the Bible, right? If you're making your money on the backs of other people, or if you're doing well on the backs of other people, it's not the right thing. And I think we could do better. Pretty unimaginative if you can't do better.
Thank God we've got social media to take up the slack and for people to get their message out. As we talk today, Facebook just came out and pointed out that they've identified a coordinated campaign of fake accounts already regarding the 2018 election. So Donald Trump will have to be ramping up the enemy of the people arguments. Because whatever else it comes down to, in a society where information and people's beliefs and voting is determined by a lot of money, you can have a battle of billionaires, but the bottom line is, even the more progressive billionaires are coming at this from a perspective of having billions of dollars, and that doesn't probably very much reflect the opinions of the average American.
Yeah, and
we don't do well in a battle, a clash of the titans.
And dear Mark Zuckerberg, what took so long? This reminds me of the movie, an Adam Sandler movie, where The Wedding Singer. It reminds me of the Wedding Singer line where he goes,
"Thank God, because I was not going to help you with that Adam Sandler reference."
That's information that would have served me better yesterday. I mean, we're already stuck with this guy.
I remember that line somehow. This is information you could have given me yesterday.
and everybody knows this. It was weird. I'm watching this news come out at like a snail's pace, and I'm wondering why this is news. I mean, everybody knows this. They just threw it out there just to say, hey, look, we're not the SOBs that you thought that we were. It almost seems like it's politics. But yeah, I'll give them credit for the fact that they're actually talking about something else that's actually ongoing now, not just what happened in 2016, which is a huge debacle on their part. Our social media really needs to be more responsible. And I'll get started on Twitter at some point because they continue to provide a platform for this jackass. But anyway.
Right. And as do our voters, who need to be able to tell the difference between something that's true and at least something that's obviously false. But anyway, there's potential good news. There's a potential rapprochement in the Republican Party. I'm sure you're going to feel better. They're falling out with the Kochs. What do you do when you're having a big fight with conservative big donors? Well, you offer a unilateral tax cut of about $100 billion for rich people. And the Koch brothers presumably going to do pretty well with that one. And maybe that's kind of a makeup gesture from the Trump administration. It's probably illegal, but whatever. Trump's just going to on his own, because what the hell? Vladimir Putin can do whatever he wants. So why shouldn't Trump be able to do what he wants, which is to give a bigger tax cut for rich people, which is obviously just what this country needs right now. Anyway, speaking of Vladimir Putin, before we leave, because we're running out of time, but it would be remiss not to talk about some of the latest comings and goings, and to try, for our viewers who are only casual observers to the Russia story, to give some idea what's actually happening. And basically, with the Mueller investigation regarding Russia, leaving out financial impropriety, which we're not even sure how much Mueller is looking into the fact that Trump is basically a blatant money launderer and an international criminal. But when it comes to Russia, you've got primarily collusion and obstruction, right? It comes down to basically those two issues. Collusion, meaning that the now president of the United States, when he was seeking the presidency, worked with a hostile foreign power, Russia, in order to try to, in effect, steal the presidency, to wrest the presidency from somebody else, to confuse the American people, whatever else. That's the collusion aspect. That's that part of that claim of what's being investigated. And that's the one that most people are expecting. We're not anywhere near an imminent conclusion of the Mueller investigation, that that's going to come out after, sometime after the 2018 midterms. And of course, this week, the big news is Michael Cohen apparently testifying that that Donald Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russian officials, that Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting with Donald Trump Jr. with someone pointed out, shocking to believe that there was a meeting involving the president's son and the president's son-in-law, two of his closest aides, about stealing the election and Russia getting help in the election. And somehow, is it possible Donald Trump actually did know about it? Well, according to Michael Cohen, to the surprise of nobody.
No one.
It looks like this could, I mean, this is some pretty serious stuff, that Donald Trump knew about this meeting beforehand and went and sent his sons to the meeting to collude with a hostile foreign power against U.S. law.
And of course he did. Nothing's happening in that administration that doesn't go past Donald Trump. Guys, you gotta be, you really have to be that gullible to think that, oh, his sons and members of his administration just took it upon themselves to go to a meeting involving the Russian oligarchs.
Are you arguing that Junior doesn't have a real independent streak?
I think he's got a real grease streak that's running through his hair, but that's about it.
Anyway, the second fundamental charge or possible charge against Trump is obstruction of justice, and that is doing things to interfere with the investigation as to Russia's role in the election and Trump's role, et cetera. That's basically the key parts, of what Mueller has been doing right now. And on the obstruction charge as well. And again, as several people point out, Trump has obstructed by tweet. He's obstructed by press conference. He's obstructed by presidential debate. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of question other than what the intent was, how far it went, whether he knew what was going on. And again, even the collusion thing has to do somewhat with the obstruction. But now we've got more on the obstruction story as well, that it now appears to have turned out that Donald Trump, when he told FBI Director James Comey to lay off Flynn, suggested strongly that he lay off Michael Flynn, the Trump argument was he thought that there was no investigation at the time against Flynn, so you couldn't be obstructing an investigation that didn't exist. Well, now an article in the New York Review of Books, sourced by a lot of people, seeming impeccably sourced, in fact, a lot of people who've already given testimony, is now making the argument that the president, or the, at that point he was the president, it was a few days into his presidency, knew damn well and was told by his chief of staff, among others, that the Flynn investigation was ongoing, that Flynn was the subject of an investigation right before he went in and spoke to James Comey and told him to give up on that investigation.
Yeah, Yates pretty much just hand-delivered that message to Trump, and you know he's going to do like what somebody who's acting like they're guilty is going to do. He's just going to listen, and then he's just going to go ahead and do his own thing. What's interesting is as the clown car of the talking heads had pulled up to all the media stations, where they're just repeating now after the goalpost has been moved back repeatedly. First, there's no collusion, and then there's just we didn't
collusion
know about
isn't
it
a crime. One, there's no collusion, and
well,
two,
now,
it isn't
well,
a crime anyway.
Well, now, yeah, now it's all collusion's not a crime. Collusion's not a crime. Collusion's not a crime, and you're hearing this as a talking point, you have to realize this is something that was just discussed, but realize where the deception is. It's not that hard to see. If you have problems seeing this, boy, you're in a lot of trouble. But think about this. You saying, or people saying, that collusion is not a crime, is anybody saying that is trying to divert from the fact that collusion done in a manner where it's a conspiracy is a crime. It's almost like saying bad driving is not a crime. Well, okay, bad driving isn't a crime. That's true. But what if your bad driving just ran over like 12 people? You know, I mean, there's certain things that come with this. There's certain details that comes with this that they're leaving out.
Yeah, ultimately what's happening here is collusion itself is not a crime. What is the crime is the underlying crime that you are colluding in. You use the word conspiracy, which is often the better legal term. But you are colluding in a crime. Now, what might that crime be? Well, apparently that crime might be helping a hostile foreign power affect the results of a U.S. presidential election. And colluding in that, in fact, would be a crime. And as you point out, we can say conspiracy. So we can bet that as time goes on and it becomes further clear how much Mueller is going to have on this guy, that the efforts to discredit everybody and everything having to do with reality are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. We're going to read more about the enemy of the people being the press. We're going to, and for that matter, being the Mueller investigation. We are going to hear more of divisive language, divisive tone, trying to discredit every act of investigation, legality, et cetera, in this country, so that ultimately when the special prosecutor comes out with a report that shows that the president of the United States is a witting criminal over and over and over again, that millions and millions of his supporters and all of his congressional supporters can come out and say fake news.
And there's no other reason to believe him alone when everybody else comes out with, when there's so much evidence that keeps coming out. He just expects you to be that stupid to think that, okay, yeah, he's the only one who knows it and he's the only one who's telling the truth. Guys, if you're ignoring information and facts that are coming out from every angle just to take one guy's word for it, that should tell you something. Take Trump out of the equation. You know, insert anybody there. Put your mechanic in there. Put your teacher, your boss. If any of these people, any public person in your life or a family member, anyone, your hamster, anyone, if anyone says, yeah, don't trust the things that you're seeing, which he actually said, don't trust the things that you're seeing and hearing, just take my word for it, run! That's not someone that you want to show allegiance to.
It's hard to imagine, as we've said before, which is worse and which is scarier. The utter contempt that Donald Trump and most of the Republican Party at this point has for their own voters, the absolute utter contempt that they have for their own voters, or the fact that over and over they keep being rewarded for that contempt. Hard to know which one is worse. Anyway, we will continue to try to help inform rather than misinform our listeners here at Forward Nation Radio. We hope you're feeling a little more informed than you were about a half an hour ago, and we hope that you will continue to join us for future shows. Please, as always, here's our sign-off. Please do listen to us on Spotify and on iTunes and like us or flag us or whatever you have to do on those things. I don't know how they work. To show everybody else that you care, please send our links. Follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. Please like us on Facebook. We're also on Podbean for those who don't want to use iTunes. Please do help us spread the message. Please do like us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, etc. Spread the word where you can. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Forward Nation Radio. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.